What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As soon as that clock starts, your ass is mine.
When I met Justin Herbert, man, that dude is big as hell.
Yeah, the goal is to just keep it rolling.
We'll come in hype because we have a lot of things to be excited about.
All right, guys, we are back with another Bolt Insight, and we are super lucky to have Tyler Shoon from the Guilty as Charged podcast. What is going on, my friend?
Hey, man, how's it going? Thank you for having me on. I don't get asked to do these things often, so thank you for being a repeat asker for me to join you on the show. It means it didn't go super bad last time.
No, it was awesome, man. I loved getting to know you last time, and I'm excited to pick your brain because a lot has happened since the last time we talked. A lot of exciting things. So The thing I got to ask you about to start, man, we have a new head coach. Last time we talked, we had somebody else, hadn't been fired yet last time we talked. What are your thoughts on Harbaugh and kind of what's happening to this organization?
I mean, I'm head over heels, and I was able to do handstands and cartwheels to almost show that when they first announced that he was the hire. To me, and I think you and I have a similar perspective here, we are like in the stands, season ticket holders, attend as many games as we can, and we're sick of watching the Chargers lose. Like, we'll spend money regardless. We've seen really bad seasons. We've seen some pretty good seasons, but we're kind of sick of this consistent losing feeling. And with Harbaugh, no matter what ends up happening and players he maybe trades away or cuts or whatever changes, like, it does feel like the Chargers are now in a position where they're going to be a consistent winner. Maybe it's not this year, but it's going to be for several years moving forward and for as long as he's willing to coach. So for me, it's the best thing for the Chargers and for me as a fan, covering the team, because things are financially so much better when the Chargers are winning.
Sure.
And B, it's fun when the Chargers are winning to be in the stands with you guys, like believing we're going to win instead of praying we don't lose.
Yeah, I'm excited for that feeling again because I haven't had that in a hot minute. And, You know, the stress of fourth quarter Charger football hopefully is in the past because my heart can't take it for many more years. I'm getting up there, so I can't take it much longer. So you talked a little bit about it, you know, him coming in, moving stuff, getting rid of pieces, bringing stuff in. We had a couple big departures, maybe places not all the fans earlier in the offseason thought would happen. What was your kind of takeaway from those kind of, I don't want to say cutthroat moves, but some of those moves that were like, all right, well, we're just going to move on from this?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind because, okay, you look at the Big Four, and the Big Four was the big conversation. Who's going to go? Okay, Mike Williams is most likely to go, and he does. They cut him. Okay, fine. Like, I totally get why they did that. No problem. Then they keep Joey Bosa. Okay, I definitely did not expect that. And I do think it was kind of cool to see, I don't know how much better options that they have, but in particular with Khalil Mack, like, these guys moved money around and restructured and did different things for the betterment of the team, which was awesome to see. And I don't know the last time I saw that outside of like Philip Rivers doing that back in the day. Not back in the day, it's only been a few years, but you know what I mean?
Feels back in the day though.
It does feel like a whole different, different thing. The surprise was obviously the Keenan Allen one because we all had wrapped up a live show 5 minutes before that news broke. So we finished our live show like, oh, here they kept Joey. Great. They're going to have three edge rushers and all these moves. They're going great. And then they trade Keenan Allen and it's for the fourth round pick, which the compensation is fine, whatever. Like, I get why it's only a fourth round pick, but I was surprised and I was disappointed. I was very emotional because we hopped on a live stream again, 5 minutes after that. And I don't know how I got any words out.
Yeah.
Because like Keenan Allen for me, like my dad and I got season tickets.
You and I both have Keenan Allen behind us.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
Self-explanatory. Yeah. So my dad and I got season tickets to watch the Chargers the year that he was drafted. So he's been a part of like every football game, you know, me getting to like bond with my dad and know my dad on these drives to San Diego. And then now of course, LA, like, so it was very tough to see him go. And personally, I still disagree with it. I understand why they did it, but I personally disagree with it. And it's now up to this draft and what they do moving forward to prove themselves right. And I guess me wrong.
Yeah. Well, and it definitely makes things interesting for the draft. And, you know, it kind of opened up, the departures opened up some positions of need on pretty much across the board. We needed position, you know, we had some positions of need. But the wide receiver thing became a real legit conversation at 5 for wide receiver once you let those two guys go. But then there's also still a faction of a lot of pundits, a lot of people feel like Harbaugh's not going to pick a wide receiver. He's not his MO. He's going to, you know, trade back, take an offensive lineman, get picks. What's your kind of outlook for, you know, we're less than, what is it, 10 days away or something.
Yeah.
For what, how do you think we're going to, how Harbaugh and Ortiz are going to fill this team up with the draft?
Yeah, the million-dollar question. It's unbelievably difficult to figure out what they need. I think there was maybe a sense we knew where they were going before the Keenan trade. Now it feels like with the Keenan trade, everyone's been locked in on this wide receiver at 5 thing. But this team, you know, their number one need isn't receiver. It's not corner. It's not D tackle. It's not linebacker. It's not whatever. It's just more players. That is their number one need, honestly, over anything else. And so I think that they are going to trade down from 5 if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not there. With that said, I personally would go with Malik Nabers there at 5 if I had to stick and pick. So I'd take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, and I'm starting to lean even Romo Dunze at that point because everything that comes out about him is tremendous. His character is wonderful. Everything you hear about him is how great of a person he is. So classic Charger, right? Like that's a perfect like Charger to a T there.
Yeah.
So I do think they will try to trade down if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not there. And but I really don't think offensive tackle or offensive line in the first round, depends on where they trade back, is as set in stone as some pundits have it. And I was talking with Daniel Popper about this. Like, we spend so much time, it's really just mostly focusing on right tackle here. We spend so much time talking about how Ben Herbert's going to, everyone's going to get stronger. Their neck flexion is going to be off the charts and whatever. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh, what he brings, and the Michigan's the 2-time Joe Moore Award winner for best line in college football, and Greg Roman and Devlin, the offensive line coach. It's going to do wonders for Zion. It's going to do wonders for Jamar. It's going to do wonders for Rashawn Slater. And like, no one brings up that they could also help Trey Pipkins. And so I don't know how, like, if they come in and they feel they have the program to get Joey Bosa healthy, right, and get the most out of him, why couldn't they feel the same way about Trey Pipkins, who I don't think is as bad as a lot of fans make him out to be? Like, there's a whole tier of worse, and we've seen it. Honestly, Storm Norton, I think, is a different tier of not as good. So I just don't think that offensive line in the first round and right tackle, whether it's a tackle conversion or a pure right tackle, is as set in stone as some pundits think it is. I think there's a shot that the Chargers just believe they can maximize Trey Pipkins and get him back to the best version of himself that we saw the previous season. So I, long way of saying, I still think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5 if he's there, or they trade down, but I don't think they're as locked into tackle as some people make it out to be.
Gotcha. Yeah, the Trey Pipkin things for me has been tough because, like you said, watching Charger games forever, it always feel like it comes down to these pressures coming off his side at the worst possible time to end games and get, and like, I just constantly see it. And when he's run blocking, I feel like he's in kind of a washing machine and not fully aware of what's going on or what he's doing. I just see it as like the biggest instant improvement. Like, I think you can improve there over like Jamari Sawyer. I think he give one more year at that position, he's going to be better. But I feel like the Trey Pipkins thing, we brought in a new strength and conditioning team last year. We're like, okay, maybe this is the year he's really, really, really going to step it up. Like, I've been always like, maybe this is his year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The whole time we've had Trey Pipkins. Yes. Serviceable backup, 100%. Like, he'd be a great swing tackle, left, right. He can do everything. Great backup. And I think he's getting paid as a top-tier backup offensive lineman. So I would not be mad at like a Fuaga, one of these just bruisers at right tackle. So, but it's a weird year for me because I'm not like, I need to have this or I'm going to die. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many good options for us at 5. What do you think something that could happen in the draft, maybe in later rounds, that will be like, okay, didn't see that coming. This is going to be really cool.
Oh, that's a great question, because unfortunately the Chargers team isn't very good. And so they have a lot of different needs. So nothing really surprises me at this point. I think it just comes down to like, how much do they invest in linebacker? Because they technically have two starters. Perryman's going to start, and in theory, we feel good about Henley.
Yeah.
He's going to start former third round pick. Like, and everyone thought that was kind of a steal for the Chargers. So I think they both start, but you know, Joe Hortiz and the Ravens, like, they went out of their way to get Patrick Queen in the first round of that draft. And then they traded for and then extended and gave a ton of money to Roquan Smith. So they have no problem investing in linebacker. And so I'm curious, you know, this is maybe later in the draft, but as early as the second round, like, how willing are they to invest in linebacker in this draft? Could they do it as early as 37? Like, that to me is the biggest like wild card spot, because, you know, it was Staley. We didn't see it as a premium position, and they didn't really expend a ton of money at linebacker there. And Murray was someone from the previous regime. So like, they never really spend a ton of money, but the Ravens have been complete opposite and their defense was awesome. So I'm just curious how early they're willing to take linebacker and really how they feel about Henley.
Do you think the, you know, transition from Hortiz coming from Baltimore to us is really going to be that like apples to apples? Like, he's really, it's like right. The same thing no matter what? Or do you think like now that he's the man in charge, there's might be a new aspect to how he wants to GM?
Yeah, I think because there's so much overlap in familiar circles, I think we are going to see it very similar. Now, of course, like, of course there's going to be differences, but like, we have a Harbaugh over there who did his things a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that like the Ravens did offensive line, the way that they drafted offensive line, these guys are not the best athletes, for example, but they're bigger, they have long arms, they're more of a gap scheme kind of team. That is Jim Harbaugh to a T as well. You know, so I think that will be pretty similar. I think we shouldn't be looking for a really athletic outside zone kind of offensive lineman kind of guys. We should be looking at more like just the bigger, like JC Latham types, I think. And then of course we have McDonald versus Minter. So like, I think there's enough overlap there where it's not going to be exact, but for right now, like just projecting, I do feel comfortable saying it's going to be pretty similar.
Yeah. That's what's so crazy about this year. We haven't had a first time, a new GM in so long. Yeah. I think I've just been, you know, expecting whatever Telesco is going to do for us this year, but he's not here. So it's right. Going to be something very new and exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think in terms of some of the guys that we've brought in, you know, because they're not the splashiest of pickups. We added a couple tight ends, a fullback, kind of see what they're doing on offense a little bit and bringing in some of these guys that maybe have some more juice left in the tank. You know what I mean? Some more gas left in the tank. So what are your thoughts on kind of what we've added so far with still more to come? But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the way I described it, I forget when I described it, is that like the Chargers under Telesco were always got like this really nice new car and like, ooh, look at this really nice, singular, shiny thing. That's great. And then you go to drive it and then there's no brakes and there's no turn signals and like you crash and die. Like that kind of feels like the Chargers every season.
Sure.
They didn't have like the other stuff. They just had the one shiny thing, but not a lot under the hood to really make it like function and actually, you know, have a successful drive. So I like that the Chargers, especially given their scenario with at the time, how much money they had, they went out and got, you know, cheaper free agents, some of them that didn't count against the comp pick formula. And they just built out the depth of their roster, which is so needed. Like, I feel like they elevated the floor a lot more than I've seen previously with the Chargers, where they're a bit more set and forget. And then as far as identity, it's perfect. I think it was either Andy Bischoff or Marcus Brady came out and said that Will Dissly is like one of the three best, like C-gap destroyers in the NFL at tight end. And I think that's definitely true. Like, I don't know if he's top three. I have not counted and graded all the blocking tight ends in the league, believe it or not. But like, it makes sense. We watched so many games where you can talk about 30 different things that went wrong with the run game and why it didn't work. I feel like the most consistent thing was honestly just the tight ends losing at the line of scrimmage against an edge rusher, a linebacker, whoever it was, with McKitty, with Parham, with Everett, with Cook, and these guys. Like, they just didn't have it. So I just love that they invested in their identity. And it was so clear immediately, like this identity, like for better or worse, I don't know if this team's going to be any good. I think it'll be good, but I don't know for sure, but they have an identity. So I really like the way they just went out and said, here's our identity. And with as much money and cap space as we have right now, we're going to make that identity clear and that vision clear.
And what kind of impact do you think Harbaugh is going to have on bringing some of these free agents in? Because we hit free agency, but we're about to hit like that like sweet spot of free agency where there's going to be guys available at post-draft. Mm-hmm. Contracts are going to make more sense. The comp stuff is all easier. How big of an impact do you think people wanting to come play for Harbaugh, just his reputation? If you turn on TV, you turn on any sports TV, you're going to hear about Harbaugh once a day, which as a Charger fan is the greatest thing I've had in a long time. Oh, yeah. To constantly being talked about. Do you think the players are talking about like, oh, I kind of want to get out there, like the new beautiful facility, Justin Herbert, like we got all this stuff that could be really special out there?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's really going to strike a nerve. We'll see how like this particular year goes, because it's not like they're in the prime Harbaugh Chargers years right now, but like I'm curious how these veterans who, you know, want to win the championship or want to have their career turned around view the Chargers. Because I think you look at like Ben Herbert, like when was the last time anybody saw a strength and conditioning coach have a press conference? But Ben Herbert is like that guy. And we talked to Popper and Chris Rim, like he's intense, but he means it. He's a certain aura about him. Like I think looking at that, looking away at the way, and I know it's not exact, but with the Ravens, like Van Noy, I know he went back with the Ravens, but he had a 2-year deal. Clowney finally signed a multi-year deal for the first time in his career. Like, it's always been these 1-year deals, you know, and these guys were signed after the draft and brought in by the Ravens. So I think a lot of older, you know, players that maybe didn't get it all together at the early parts of their career will look at this team and go, that's a great defensive system. That's a great strength and conditioning coach. Like, I have an injury history, but I'm so talented. Like, I can make this work. I just need my body to get right, the coaching to be right. It's a great situation. So I think that, you know, everyone's going to do better with this regime, but I think some of those guys looking for that career like turnaround or that last boost they need, I think they'll look at this team and go, yeah, I'm down for that.
That's awesome. No, I'm excited to see how it all shakes out. There's going to be a lot happening here pretty soon, man. It's an exciting time to be a fan. Your expectations for this upcoming season, you know, you have a very even keeled approach to your fandom and being a Charger fan. You're not crazy, insane, stupid with his picks as I am. You're more even keeled and thoughtful about it. What are your expectations for this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the schedule is super favorable. I think if you replayed next year's schedule, or like let's say last year's schedule, this year with the Chargers, I don't think they make the postseason. But this year with the guys they have in front of them, like they're going to be facing Atlanta and the Patriots and the Falcons and the Titans, a lot of teams that were not very good last year and have coaching changes or need a quarterback or they have a new quarterback or whatever it is. So I honestly do expect the Chargers to be competing for that wild card spot, which feels safe, I know, but like I think the Chiefs are just the Chiefs, and they're going to be the guys in the division until they're not. And I have to just give it to them, and I hate them for it, but I have to give it to them. But I do expect the Chargers to compete for that spot, and I genuinely do believe that they can get in. I genuinely believe that they can get in into the wild card spot. From there, how much damage do they do? I don't know. It depends a lot on health. But I think that they will win a few more games than they lost recently. They'll be able to flip the script in enough games just because of their preparation and Harbaugh. I think they make it work. And then I just think Justin Herbert versus bad teams is just going to generally, I think, line up the Chargers for enough wins to make the postseason.
And then you kind of brought it up, the Chiefs being, you know, the bane of our existence. What do you think the split's going to be this year? Do you think we're going to take one? Because it's been a few years since we actually got the win. I just want to see Harbaugh's team just beat the shit out of the Chiefs. That's all I really want. So what are your thoughts on kind of how we match up with them?
Oh, man. Yeah. It almost feels like you need to ask me this question in about 11 days when the draft happens.
Sure.
So I've seen what they take. The problem is the Chiefs are such a well-oiled machine, and unfortunately they need a receiver, potentially two. We'll see what happens with Rashee Rice.
Sure.
They need a few receivers, and they need an offensive tackle. Unfortunately, this is a really good class. They need an offensive tackle and a receiver. So the Chiefs could go, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, and just be contenders again, which is really unfortunate. The defensive nucleus is all there. All their systems are in place. I still think the Chargers are going to get swept, unfortunately, at this point. I know.
We'll check back in 11 days. Maybe it'll change.
Yeah, if they go like linebacker and safety or something, and then the Chargers get Marvin Harrison Jr. and then like Tyler Guyton in the third, or whatever it is, you know, Mike Sanders still in the second round, maybe I'll change my mind. But we need to figure out, the Chargers have so much to have to do to build their identity. The Chiefs are already hitting the ground running. They have everybody still in place. And so I think that just gives them an edge. But the Chargers will get there. That's for sure.
You gave me an idea. What if we trade with the Vikings, go 11-23, we get whatever we get there.
Okay.
And we trade up from the second.
That's what I'm saying.
With 31, just to fleece the Chiefs and not let them have one of the two things they need.
Yep. That literally, so it's funny. We just brought that up a couple of shows ago. That would cost them 70 draft points. Their fourth round pick, I think the 110th pick, is 74 draft points. So it's actually a perfect match there for them to go and jump right in front of the Chiefs. That's God, what I suggested, that. Man. Like, you take two players, and then the Chiefs are like, yeah, I can't wait to get Ladd McConkey. And then you go, and then jump in and go get the receiver.
Not today, pal.
No, not today.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are still unfortunately going to be good. But I think, if the Chargers made three first-round picks, I don't know. Invite me back on the show.
We'll talk about it. We'll have an emergency Tyler Schoen episode, and we'll talk about it.
Exactly.
But Tyler, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it. And keep up the amazing work you guys are doing over there at Guilty as Charged, and with all the collabs you have with the Chargers. It's great for our fan base, and I know a lot of us love listening to what you guys do. And so keep it up, my friend.
Appreciate it. My eyes are bleeding heading into the draft and watching film, but we're almost there. I can't wait to meet my wife again, who I haven't seen for 2 months while watching draft films. So I can't wait to get back to walking the dog and stuff like that, and sleeping.
Yeah, that'd be good. We could take some of all that. That'd be great. All right, Tyler, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, man.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.